I want to speak this morning on being receptive and responsive. And this is part of why we are fasting in a week's time. Does it suit me? No, it doesn't suit me. Does it suit you? Probably not. I actually looked at what I've got coming up and thinking, what a dumb decision, you know. But anyway, it's like, man, if I could just put that off a couple of weeks, that would suit so well. But I just think it's we need to start off in the year and allow God just to come and to get priority in their life. You know, sometimes we've got to just deliberately put some time aside and just let God speak into our heart. Fasting, which I'll speak on next week because we'll be starting that on the following Monday, is really just about, you know, denying the flesh, really, so that the spirit can come to the fore. So it's suppressing or shutting down the flesh, our own self-desires and that, so that the spirit man can arise. And so there's nothing nice, the body feels the pain of fasting, but it allows the spirit to come and just fine-tunes, allows a clarity to what God is saying and speaking into our hearts and into our lives. And as we just allow God just to speak, you know, a lot of other things become, you know, obsolete, and the things of God become more focused. The cloudiness sometimes heads away. You know, sometimes we're thinking, wow, is this you, God? Is this not you, God? What are you really saying? You know, and we struggle and we strive and we get frustrated. We want all of that stuff to disappear. And we actually just want to hear what the Lord is saying. Like even when we read our Bible or when we pray or when we're sitting down talking with other people, sometimes God just speaks to us, speaks through people, speaks through the Word, speaks just in their quiet time. Praying isn't always about us, you know, in our own personal time. When we come as a church to pray, we need to pray. But when we, our own time, we need to put more time into listening in our prayer time than we do speaking. So you can ask God, you know, quite often I'll just, and I think I've said this before, and I just like to kneel down often. It's just a position I like, you know, which is, you know, the religious way to pray. But I'll just say, I'll just sit there and just, I love you, love you, love you, Jesus, love you, love you, love you. And I say that just to get rid of all the things out of my head. Like I just keep saying it just to clear everything else. Need to get rid of all my thoughts and then just maybe have a bit of a talk to the Lord and just have that commune time, just whatever that looks like, and just talking away and allowing God just to speak. It's a bit like the Mary Martha. It's not about telling you God everything you want and what needs to be done. It's actually about listening and hearing so that what we do is God's will and purpose in our lives. So part of our fasting is actually being responsive, receptive and responsive. So we're going to do that in 2 weeks. There are a couple of different ways that the Lord wants us to be receptive and responsive to Him. The first one is things that the Lord is wanting to change in our lives. So there's things in our lives that God quite often wants to speak to us to shift that we're not fully aware of or that we are struggling with. Sometimes they're strongholds, sometimes they're generational things, sometimes they're just habits, sometimes they're just whatever. You know, and sometimes God just wants to come and shift those things away, but it's not easy just to do that. You know, it's the new year and we sit down, and I think Jack was talking about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, we sit down and we make these new year resolutions, what we're going to do, and we want to do this and that, and all those things are good. But a lot of the time we actually need God and we need others, which is why connect groups are so important. We need people to be around us, to hold us accountable, and to pray with us, and share some scriptures sometimes and just go over some things so that we can see that this is what we really need to do. There's something about, I want to touch on this, when we read the Word of God and when we're talking about the Word of God and we're reading a scripture that is just truth, nothing else. It's just pure truth. It has no ifs, buts, or whatever. It has like boundaries or walls that won't budge and won't give. And it's like you fit into this or you're in rebellion. You're either going to accept this or you're not. It's, you know, it's and the Word of God can be like that. And sometimes when we just sit down and we read that and we need that absolute in our life sometimes, where we read the Word of God and it just cuts through all the nonsense. And we just have to sit there and we're either going to take it or we're not going to take it. And my prayer is that through this fasting is that some things in the Word of God will speak louder to us, and will actually, we will respond to them regardless of what they say. And there's some hard things in the Scripture, not that we have to do some hard things, it's just, you know, when we're hurt, we don't want to love the people who hurt us. We don't want to forgive the people that have done nasty things to us. We don't want to go and do good things to people when they're not nice people. I mean, there's a lot of things that we just think that's not fair and that's not right, and we just struggle with all of that. But God actually just wants to shift things in our hearts so that we begin to see from a different perspective, and that's how God sees things. And when we begin to see how God sees things, looks on other people, looks on us, looks on community, looks on things, then we begin to shift how we see. And hurt has a perspective. Shame has a perspective. Or pain has a perspective. And when we're looking out of pain, when we're looking out of shame, when we're looking out of hurts and wrongs, then we see things from a different perspective. They call it like rose-colored glasses or whatever colored, you know, glasses we got on. That's the world we see. But when we see it from God's perspective and we actually connect, which is part of what was God's wanting us here to happen here today, when we open up our heart and begin to see that God actually has the best for us, and He knows what we're going to do before we even do it, and we don't even know that. He knows how we're going to respond to certain things that come along in our life even before we arrive at that place, and even when we don't know how we're going to respond, God already knows. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He understands all things. And so He says, I know what you're going to do and what's going to happen, so I've come to you and I'm speaking something to you. And different scriptures speak different things to different people because it addresses different things in our lives. And so He comes to speak things into our hearts so that we can actually respond and not fall into the trap when it comes. And so He brings changes. He brings circumstances. God doesn't tempt you, but He might bring some not very pleasant circumstances along your way. He did lead Israel and Judah and all of those into captivity because it was the best thing that could happen for them. Otherwise, they're going to end up in a not very good place. And so He does that for all of us, but He doesn't tempt us. Like, and then we see, wow, we're doing some things wrong and we need to repent and we need to change. And so our fasting is a wee bit about this, but we need people around us for this. And the other thing is that God wants us, He wants us to be receptive and responsive, because the Lord wants us to step into things sometimes that are outside of our comfort zone. To minister, to prophesy, to pray, to speak for people when we don't particularly like to. Christine Legg down here had an awesome testimony on Friday, didn't you, Christine? Do you want me to say it or do you want me to tell? Do you want to come up here and say it? I can shorten it. Are you going to come and say it, Christine? Would you like to come and share your testimony? Friday morning, Christine went to town, met somebody at Peck and Save.
I was getting out of the car and I go, oh, because I've been painting Sarah's fence up, down for hours on end. And she said, oh, are you all right? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm all right. But I've just got real sore legs because I've been painting. And she said, well, I have really sore knees too because I've got arthritis and I'm only 31 and I have a terrible pain in my... So we talked about what was on special and Pack and Save and whatever, you know, in a basket. And then I said, would you like me to pray for you? She said, yes, I would. So I just prayed for her and then we talked a bit more about what was on special or whatever. And then I said to her, how are your knees? And she said, actually, yeah, no, they do feel better. So I prayed again. And she gave me her phone number, and she lives up in Springsfield, and she's going to come to church, I think, maybe, hopefully.
Yeah,
she cool. hasn't texted me back, but... Yeah.
You can keep that. So I got the phone number of Christine. I said, give me this phone number. See, if a person gives you their phone number, doesn't know, Christine doesn't know this lady. She's got a baby, she's got a partner. She had a few tattoos and that all over, Christine said, and different things. And, you know, and to everybody just like, oh, this woman's doing her thing. But you get that opportunities, but decision. Am I going to pray for this person or not? They've already told you they're in pain. So she prays for her, you know, twice, keeps talking, communicating. This lady says, I think I like this bit of a friendship. You know, would you come and visit me some more? I've moved up to Springfield. You see, I'm thinking, I've led a publican, a young corporate executive from Australia who come over, burnt out, bought a hotel in Springfield, up there by Darfield on the way to Thingy. Led him to the Lord, delivered him, had an amazing encounter in the pub. Led him to the Lord, prayed for him. He's been to church in Darfield. Had another family up there that were just struggling with a whole lot of things, come along to church. Some of you might have met Graham. He was over here in the healing one on Wednesday night. He talked to the guys about what's happened in his life, how he had this cough thing that was sort of cancerous from silicon poisoning over in the mines in Australia. Totally healed from that. He had a brain tumor in his head. Prayed for that. He went and got scanned the other day. It's totally gone. And also he had these veins, and these are all just things. This is just Graham and his wife up there, and he was wearing these stockings because his varicose veins were so sore, and they won't operate on them because it's not classified as major surgery anymore. So he'd been prayed for them. As you've seen, as most of you've seen, he wasn't wearing his stockings. He wasn't in any pain at all. His wife now has come in, and she's one of the major Sunday school teachers up there. We had another lady, I think I talked about, Leslie, who rung me up one day, desperate, wanted God. She'd given her heart to God, but she was just struggling with everything. So Nikki and I went up there, 7 degrees, I think 6 degrees was the temperature. It was hailing outside. She said, I need to be water baptized. We delivered her first. It took about an hour and a half. She repented of all this stuff and broke all the stuff down and shifted all the stuff. Then we went outside and baptized her in the freezing rain. Well, my wife did. She jumped in. I just did all the talking on the outside. And, you know, and this has all happened in Springfield. And I'm thinking, here's another one. And so some of you know that Steve Poner has arrived up there. He's actually got a visa for 1 year. We're going backwards from 5 to 3 to 1. But at least he's legal now, because actually they were illegal. So he can actually take his kids to school now. So the way to get uniforms, but we have to just keep praying for that because it's an awkward situation. We need him to get a 5-year visa so he can get his residency. We're losing battles. At the moment, still going backwards, but anyway, so I rang Steve Poner and I said, I've got this lady, Amanda, da da da. This is a situation that Christine told me. I said, you give me. He said, I'll be onto it. I says, we can have a connect group in Springfield. There was nothing in Springfield, and now we could have 6, 7, 8 people in Springfield. Last stop on the way to. You never know how God's moving, just like that. People who were not saved. Coming to know God, being transformed. Isn't that amazing? And Steve Poner said, I'm onto it. And he is onto it. Steve's just hired a building in at Riccarton, a church. We're going to be hiring a building in there because we've got quite a number of people that want to do connect groups in there. So we're putting them all into one group. So we've hired this council building in there. So on Wednesday night, we'll probably have a mini church, but we'll call it connect group in Christchurch. That's not bad, is it? And so, and one or two others, we've got to be another 3 starting up in Darfield. So there's lots of people actually getting saved. And I think it's amazing. And so this woman goes on the list. And I know. And I just says, just quote, just say this lady. Oh, Sister Steve, just round say, now there was a lady from Leeston, Christine Laird, come and talk to you this morning at Pack and Save and prayed for you and da da da. And you're looking for a church and whatever, da da da. It's just like, we've got one in Darfield, I'm the pastor, da da. He said, I'm onto it. Thank you, Christine. That's one way we can be receptive and responsive to God in Pack and Save in Hornby. There's always places where we can meet people if we are listening and responding to God. And I mean, if someone gives you their phone number, what are they saying? I want connection. Brent was talking about that. That's what they're saying. I want connection. It's like, we'll give you connection. We've already got a heap of people up there. That's one way we can be responsive. But we get that opportunity, that split second to what we're going to do. But I want to start off today with being receptive and responsive to what the Bible says needs to change in our lives. So our 3-week fast is to remove these distractions. Let's go to James chapter 1 and verse 21 today. Verse 25, first line sounds a bit hard and a bit... but in your face, but it says, so get rid of all the filth and the evil in your lives and humbly accept the word that God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your soul. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. So whether someone's preaching or you are reading the word, don't just look at that and say, oh, yeah, that's interesting, that's good. Yeah, and think about it. You can think about it all week and you'd say, oh, yeah, I hear that. He says, actually do something about it. Do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. It doesn't make you a good Christian reading your Bible and thinking about it if you're not going to act on it. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. And you see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, I don't mind forgetting what I look like when I look in the mirror these days. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, which is the word of God, the Bible, that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. In a nutshell, God is saying, hear the word of God and do it. The Bible is very plain and direct most of the time about what living for Jesus is all about. It's not always easy to hear what God is saying in the Bible and then change. Sometimes, as I said before, forgiving people is a hard thing to do. And we don't know until we're in that place. And we don't know, like we say, yeah, well, I can forgive them if they do this, this, and this. But sometimes there's some things that we don't see coming. We get blindsided by some things and we get hurt. And once you have a hurt, then you've got to deal with that. And a hurt is a hurt because it has pain attached to it. Because it's done something inside of us and we struggle with that. And sometimes we need some time and we need some prayer and we need some people to believe in us and gather around us and to strengthen us. And there's lots of people who are hurting. Sometimes we're just alone. Loneliness is a horrible thing. Brent touched on this before. This generation, they call it, is the connected generation. I've got that book at home I'm just talking to you about. But even though they are the connected generation because the whole world's in touch with one another, they are the most loneliest ever in the history of mankind. People are more lonely than they've ever been in their whole life throughout the whole world. This is the Barnes study that I was talking to you about. Doesn't matter whether you're in Africa or you're in America or Canada or Romania or Switzerland, they're the loneliest people have ever been in their life and the most anxious. So we need people to be around us and to help us through this. Now, the Word of God will come to us and it will tell us, you know, that we need to be connected together, as Brent was saying. The Bible says, you know, that the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, that we should gather together. Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. And why it's important. It's important to come together to strengthen one another in the faith, to encourage one another. It's really important to belong, to actually belong. Sometimes it's hard to trust God when we are financially going through some hard things. God just says, you know, just pray and give it over to me. Pay your tithes. We talked about tithing for the first time, I think, last week. If you weren't here, go online and hear it. It's good. We need to hear that. It's not about, as I said, it's not about having to, the church needs your money. It's not actually about that. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just God says, this is mine. This 10% is actually mine. It belongs to me, actually. It's not even yours. You know, and sometimes we struggle with some of this when we have debts that we can't pay. And it's like, can I trust God? Can I actually trust God? You know, it's like I'm believing, I see, all I can see is we're going to go backwards. I can't see we're going to make it. And it's like, God, you know, I don't know if I can do this. And by default, we will always come back to doing it our way. That's just a default mechanism. Soon as you switch off making a conscious effort into God to do what he's requiring of us, then you just go back to doing it your way and believing God. If you want things to change in your marriage, in your relationship, in your family, in your workplace, in your school, you know, with your children, with whatever, it's like We got to commit this to the Lord, and we got to believe and trust in Him and ask Him to help us, get people praying with us. You know, there's certain things in the Word of God that give us strength and instruction how to do that. If we all go home and swear, our kids will swear. That's what the Bible says. If we all go home and have a fit and get really angry, that's what our kids are going to do. And then they'll grow up and they think, oh, well, this is how my dad talks to my wife, so it's to mum or whatever. And it's like, so I'll talk the same. There's things that, you know, and it's like children need to respect their parents, but it says don't provoke your children to anger. In other words, don't teach them to live alongside of. You don't want your children to get drunk and carry on. It's like, don't do that yourself. There's things that our children watch. Don't teach them. Don't say it's okay to live alongside of this. That's what it's really saying there, if you look it up. Provoke. Don't provoke them. Don't get them to say, this is okay, I can live like this. And so it's really easy, you know, just to look and say, well, we all know that's wrong, but when that's part of our life, it's hard. And we need people to help us. We're not here to condemn one another and to judge one another and to pull one another down. We're actually here to help one another. So it's okay, you know, just to say, oh, yeah, no, I can do this. But when we're struggling and we've got problems that we have to overcome and we can't see a way out of it, it's like, am I going to trust God or am I not going to trust God? Somebody owes me some money, and it's like, oh. Well, the Bible says, you know, give it to them. It says, don't give to the people who can repay you. That's what the scripture says. It says, don't give their money to the people who can repay you. Give it to the people who can't repay you. And if they repay you eventually, that's fine. But if they don't, that's okay. It's like, well, that's not good business. Well, sometimes that doesn't mean give all your money away to everybody who can't pay you back. It's not what it's saying. There's times when God will say, give to this person. I've done that. And then everybody thinks, oh, Wayne Watson's giving thousands of dollars away. So they all come right. People come and asking me for loans and whatever sorts of things. It's like God spoke to me about this guy who was struggling, you know, and I had to go and help him. Long story. It was a bit of a sad story, really. He was going to be getting his kids because his wife was in a bit of a mess. He'd been a drug addict their whole life. He'd been a fisherman and everything had just been a mess. The whole marriage fell over and he was really missing his kids. He'd come to the Lord, found the Lord, prayed for him, walked him through a whole lot of things, and then things went really bad on him. And then one day he rang me up and said, that's it, I'm taking my life. And I says, where are you? And he says, I'm in a bath. I'm about to drop the heater in it. It's just like, don't do that. I'm on my way. And I tried to ring, you know, ambulance services and whatever that you have to do. But I'm out of range. I give them a couple of things and I says, that's it, because I can't wait. I'm up there. He'd already slit his wrists. He'd already slit his wrists when I got there. You know, and we worked through a whole lot of stuff. And God said, I want you to help this guy. So I gave him thousands of dollars to get him out of a mess and to get his family on the go and different things. You know, and he felt a bit bad, and I sat down with him one day and I says, listen, I'm giving you this money. If you pay it back, you pay it back. If you don't pay it back, you don't pay it back. It's just like God will speak to you, and he paid probably about half of it back, and that's all, and that's fine. I'm happy. All I had to do was do what God asked me to do. Yeah. That's it. It doesn't mean I have to go and do that, but it's like, but that's not wise business. And I mean, we give money to whoever, whatever. It's like, if God says so, you know. But we have to understand that that's just the word of God. It's like, oh, yeah, well, we should give it, you know, but they should pay us back. Well, the Bible says if you owe people money, that you should pay your debts. That we should actually pay our debts. Those who, you know, and then to the person who's got the money says you should give to those who actually can't, that you know can't repay you. I don't know why we're talking about all of this. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the Word of God is very clear on some things, you know. But we struggle with some of these things because it doesn't make sense here in our heart. So we go back to our default mechanism. So God speaks a whole lot of things to us, but it's like, are we going to receive what the God's saying to us? Or are we actually going to minister out and respond. Part of responding is actually asking the Holy Spirit to help us. Part of responding is actually embracing what the Word of God says. Part of responding is actually joining yourself to a connect group and belonging, honestly. And we're giving this a wee shove this year because I think it's really, really important. There's nothing like being in a connect group and looking at some scripture too. You know, we sometimes got to come. So when you come to group, and we talked about this on Wednesday, when you come to group, come with an expectation, bring something. Bring a scripture, bring a prophecy. God's put this on my heart this week. Stop and still yourself and say, what is it? Is God speaking to anybody in my group? Is God speaking to someone in my church that I need to say something? You know, I've got the scripture. Who's this for? You know, sometimes scripture's for us, sometimes scripture's for other people, you know, but come and then just say, look, I'm struggling this week. Actually, you can all pray for me. I'd love you to pray for me this week. I'm actually run down. All the top of my mouth's really sore, which means it's sort of getting ulcers or whatever in there. And so I'm got a lot on my plate. I'm working really hard. Everything in Darfield's going really well, but there's just, you're carrying. I'm carrying the weight of some stuff up there. Things are going really well, actually, but underneath, I'm just pushing through because we really need to see Steve and patience, you know, get what needs to happen there. And so just getting stuff happening there and just a whole lot of stuff establishing and talking with people and, you know, and had to do some things that weren't particularly nice this week, you know, save James and Danny. I'm being a really good pastor. So, you know, I just had to go and talk to some people about some things this week that, you know, to change some things around because things aren't working, you know, and just loving on them, ringing them every day and going around seeing them. And, you know, it'd be great if they were here today at church, you know. Maybe they've left. Maybe they won't come back to church anymore, you know, but I'm doing my best to talk with them and work them through, but they're not here today. And so we, you know, it's just you, this part of having a heart, you know, and just praying. So I spend time praying for people. You know, as you work through, because we're about building a church. We're about, you know, establishing and building a body and helping people connect together. And so part of that is belonging and coming together and getting people to pray for you. Pray for you and share some things and say, wow, is this what the scripture says? Yeah, that's what the scripture says. Unfolding it. A mission statement, which we've got here, invite and part and power. You know, it's about not letting people walk alone, inviting people to come and discover Jesus, imparting into people the love, the wisdom, the strength, the faith, whatever's needed of God so that they can do what needs to be done, so they can overcome, so that you impart whatever needs to be imparted into them. But that means coming together and praying for. Empowering people to make the changes and step into the will and the purpose of God for their life. People need to be empowered. We all need to be empowered. Someone believing in us, God believing in us, but we need to believe in one another. If we don't pray or read our Bibles daily, which most of us don't, I just read a quote actually, someone just even brought with me one this week, 5% of us read our Bibles daily. If we don't read our Bibles daily and look at things, then we're not focused on what God is speaking to us about. And so our hearts and our heads more, are filled with all the things in our day around work and family. And most of you already probably know what you want to do this afternoon and tomorrow what you're going to do and da-da-da, I've got this, this and this. Well, we already know that, but what is God actually saying? We don't need to know what we already need to know that has to be done. What we need to know is how we're going to go about doing that God's way. How are we going to let God come into our life and into the lives of others? And if you meet someone like Christine Legg met, you know, are we ready to minister something? Christine says to me, you know, I think there's people everywhere. And there is. There is people everywhere who need Jesus, who just need you to pray with them. And it's just having the courage to do that at times and hearing God. Galatians 5:16, 2 whatever. Sorry, I haven't got all of it down. Have we just got one verse? We got it all. I know we got it. You are so good, Paul. They know me better than I know myself. I've got instructions on my iPad and they don't even follow them. They know me. They're listening to God. Thank you, Paul. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. So we have this war going on inside of us. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So there is a battle going on inside of you. And if we don't empower the Spirit man, then the carnal man will dominate. But if we want the Spirit man so that we can do the things that are right, that God is intending for us to do, then we need to do that. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, which is extreme admiration, or love for someone, something or someone. So there's more idolatry here today than we think there is. Sorcery, hostility, we know what that is. Quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfishness. Do you know what selfishness is? Just Siri told me this morning that it's lacking consideration for another person. That's what selfishness, Siri said. I pushed it, said, Siri, what is selfishness? She says it's lack of consideration for someone else. It's not the word of God that Siri said that. Concern with one's own personal profit or pleasure. No, I don't want to. I want to go and do this, so I don't want to go and do that. I don't want to help this person. I don't want to be around this person. Oh, this is what I want to do. No, we're not like that. We're not selfish. Ambition. Siri, what does ambition mean? It means desire and determination to achieve success. Now, we would say that's a good thing. Desire and determination to achieve success. Except we put God out of the equation. You know, when we read books, I want to say this, we can go to connect groups and we can be around people and we can talk and go deep and we can talk about life experience. But I want to say today, when we don't base what we are building and talking and encouraging people around on the Word of God, and we just base it on life experience, then we're going to slip into a place where we deceive ourselves and those we're talking about. We're going to believe lies about life and God. Yeah. There is a lot of things in life experience that we could take out of something, but it's not necessarily God. And so there's a lot of people. You can read books about people that achieve a lot of things. I mean, I was quite inspired by Sir Edmund Hillary. He's about as far away from God as you can get. He despised it, actually. His father was Close Brethren, I think. And he despised all form of religion. But you can see what he achieved. You can see what people have overcome. The hardships, the pain, the things that they've overcome, the things that they've done in life, and all of the stuff. But if God's not in it, then it's missing something. Because the whole thing is about a perspective without God. And sometimes we get into that. We fall into that trap. It's like, well, you know, life experiences teaches us some things. Well, God teaches you more. Yeah. I recommend that everyone here actually read the book of Ecclesiastes. Yeah. It's just a book we believe is written by Solomon, who was the wisest man to live. And so God gave him this wisdom and that. And he wrote, and he just says, you know, it's vanity. It's all vanity. And people can talk about and achieve. I mean, people want to be remembered. People try to do things. And so that book is all about, you know, chasing the wind. It talks to you about everything that's vanity, about things that mean nothing in life. And Solomon watched it. He saw it. He built great things. And yet when he built all these great things, he thought it was for what? It has no purpose in eternity. He watched people trying to achieve. He watched people striving to be successful. And yet here we see ambition. And we would say, well, if you determine to achieve and do things, you know, it's like, well, that has to be good. if God is involved, if God is at the forefront of it. If God isn't, it just leads us away down a path after ourselves. There's lots of things. Dissension. Do you know what dissension is? Suri told me this morning, dissension is disagreement that leads to discord. Disagreement that leads to discord means a breaking of unity. I think I've done that this week. I sat down to talk to somebody about something who didn't want to hear something. And we talked about it. We looked at it and we said, was this true or false? Oh, yes, you're right. What you're saying is true. Well, can we receive this? Not sure where we stand. Division. Suri told me division means being separated, means disunity. The opposite to being connected. It's like, no, we're not like that. It's amazing as Christians how much we can actually find ourselves in a place where we disagree with someone so we get the huff. Well, I'm not going there anymore. It's amazing how as Christians, we can say, well, I'll give God one Sunday a month, maybe two Sundays a month to come to church and whatever. I've got other things to do with my family. Are we being responsive to God? Are we being receptive? Are we actually doing what he says? I need to finish, Danny. You should be waving your hands about now, saying, stop, Wayne. Yeah, think of the kids up in Sunday school and the teachers. Struggling, the kids crying about now, wanting to go home, and their parents. So they've got aircon up there. Danny says it was hard week, Wayne, last week, Wayne. You just like think about the kids, think about us. We were shattered. It's like come quarter to 12. We did quarter to 12. After quarter to 12, the tears come. It's like I've got 5 minutes before the tears start. I got five minutes before the tears start upstairs. Right, I'll do one more scripture and I'll stop. John 5, 2 to 14. It's a long scripture, won't read all of it. Inside the city gate, near the sheep gate was a pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. We know there's crowds of sick people, blame, lame, paralyzed, lay on porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him, he knew he'd been ill all a long time. He knew it. He knew. He already come. He said, you've been sick for a long time, 38 years. God knows us before we know anything about ourselves. He asked him, would you like to get well? He already knew he wanted to get well, but he asked him, yes, sir, I would love to, but there are no one here to help me in the pool. We need people sometimes just to help us. No one was there. Jesus came along to help him. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping bag and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath, so a whole lot of people got upset and all jumped up and down about that. Anyway, the Pharisees wanted to know who this person was. The man said, I don't know who he was. And then he finally met him and found out it was Jesus. Later on, he met him and said, oh, Jesus, come to him. Verse 13, the man didn't know, for Jesus disappeared to the crowd. Verse 14, but afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, now you are well, so stop sinning or something even worse may happen to you. Now Jesus has healed this man who has been paralyzed for 38 years. You think, well, that's a rough deal. Jesus comes along and heals him. And we think, well, healing's a great thing. And healing is a great thing. And you can be healed, you can have a miracle. But Jesus knew the intention of the man's heart. What I want to say here, we look at this and say, wow, that would be lovely. Man, being healing someone who'd been paralyzed for 38 years is an amazing thing. But Jesus already knows the man's heart. And so he comes to him later and he says, you're well, you've been healed. But I want to say something to you. You need to stop sinning. If you do this, something even worse is going to happen to you. So you need to stop. He's speaking to the man's heart. I'm saying the scripture because we get all excited about someone because God does something amazing. But the most amazing thing is when we can actually embrace the Word of God and change in our heart and receive the Word of God. Be receptive to what God is actually saying to us. That's it. So Jesus knows our intentions before we do. And his word that he brings to us and teaching, you know, sometimes we come around and sometimes you will hear somebody say, I just feel something here for somebody. And you can turn off or you can be receptive. Ben will be finding this with some of these young men who sort of know God and have experienced some things in God, and it's like it's just getting this word continually coming in and coming in. And the more the word of God comes in, the more they change. I'm sitting here twice now. I've been sitting here. The young people turn up over at the station, and it's like, oh my gosh, hope the whole community's ears are closed. It's like, this isn't what we're wanting to hear. And I'm thinking, and then Ben drives up, and they're already waiting there, and suddenly the conversations all change, and they all talk normal. And I'm sitting in there shouting at one another. I was thinking, I wonder if I should go out there and say, guys, tone down the language. It's like they're really ripping into one another, you know? It's like, and I'm in my office. It's like, man, it's really clear. It's like, this is what I think of you. And here's your skateboard and whatever else. And she's all going down. And I'm thinking, you know, it's like Ben comes along. Wait, we all got to be good now. You're having influence, Ben. You're carrying influence. But you see, it's actually just shifting that in. You know, and as we embrace this, Father, we thank you today for your word. Father, we thank you.